Hey everyone, I'm going to take a look today at Luke chapter 14 and this very important passage on the cost of discipleship, starting in verse 25. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use, either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears, let him hear." So this context of this very hard saying, if you want to put it that way, or this very intense teaching, is great crowds. Remember, in a prior scene, in the immediately prior scene, Jesus has been at table with Pharisees. And this is a very different context. It's a big crowd. And whenever we see crowds in the Gospels, we should think people in general who are interested, entertained, maybe enjoying the benefits. This is really exciting, fun, interesting, free food. And so Jesus' words to the crowd are pretty intense. Or maybe we could put it this way. Jesus is here deliberately thinning the crowd. And really much of what Jesus is doing here is the opposite of what our tendency sometimes is with the gospel and in the church. We want to convince people of the benefits of the gospel, the benefits of being a disciple. Here, Jesus isn't doing that. He's doing right the opposite and saying, he's giving three reasons why they can't be his disciples. So it's worth paying attention in some detail to what's going on here. First, he says there's three reasons you can't be my disciple. The first one is if you don't hate other relationships, other people in your relationships. Now, Jesus doesn't mean here what we typically mean by "I hate that guy" or "I hate him." What he means here is "I prefer this one over that one." In other words, Jesus is teaching the fundamental teaching of discipleship, which is I must be your ultimate loyalty. And if any other human relationship comes into conflict with loyalty to me, you need to prefer me to that person. And so Jesus says, listen, if your marriage falls apart because you're a disciple of mine, well, so be it. Being a disciple of mine is the first priority. If your family disowns you because you're a disciple of mine, so be it. So that's the first one, is he must be our ultimate loyalty. The second one is you have to take up your cross. Now, keep in mind that at this point, Jesus has not gone to the cross, but he has been teaching about the cross. And I would suggest his whole life from birth all the way through to the end, to his death, is one of taking the cross. If we define the cross this way, the cross is, I don't have to get my way. The cross is, it is no longer important or a big deal if I don't get my way. My first priority is, Jesus' first priority was to do the Father's will. My first priority is to learn from Jesus how to live my life like he would live it if he were I. And the cross is simply saying, hey, I don't have to have my way. That is a tremendous freedom. Jesus says, if you don't set as a fundamental principle in your daily life, I don't have to get my way today, then you can't be my disciple. The third one, he says, If you don't say goodbye to all your possessions, you cannot be my disciple. Now, this is sort of like the one about hating your father or mother or brother or sister or whatever. Jesus is saying, if it comes down to me or them, you must choose me. I think Jesus is saying something similar here. We must sit in a detached way with all that belongs to us, so that maybe all that belongs to us will need to be made available to him. And indeed, much of what belongs to us should be made available to him on a daily basis. The point is, we have to have a detachment from what we own. Or Jesus says, you cannot be my disciple. So again, I would suggest that sometimes in the history of the church has tried to sell the gospel, has tried to convince people of how good it is. Notice Jesus' instinct with crowds is to do right the opposite. His instinct is to focus on what is difficult about being a disciple and what is demanding about being a disciple. You might even say it this way. The crowds or individuals in the crowds would need to convince him to accept them as a disciple. And he says, here's the demands. And if you don't meet these demands, you cannot be my disciple. So again, Jesus is deliberately thinning the crowds. He is not trusting the mob mentality and the excitement, quote unquote, of a mob. And then at the end of the section, he uses this image of salt and salt losing its saltiness. I think part of what Jesus is saying is this: when we don't present the demands of discipleship like Jesus presents them, we water down the gospel. We water down the message. We make it essentially worthless. When we try to sell it for its benefits, rather than calling people to understand what it costs to be a disciple, we are doing them and God a disservice. And remember, salt in this context is for fertilizer. It's for mixing in with the soil of the world to bring blessing and life and health to the world and thriving to the world. And he says, you cannot be a blessing to the world if you in your own life water down the gospel, or if you in your own life water down this call to discipleship. Finally, in the midst of all this, Jesus gives two parables. And they both are about the same thing. If you're going to undertake a significant task, like building a tower or going to war with a neighboring city, you'd better first sit down and think carefully about whether you're able to do it, whether the cost is worth it to you. All right, is this more than you're willing to pay? So both of these images, building a kind of a watchtower in a garden to keep thieves from stealing from you, and going to wage war against a city, should involve very deliberate and thoughtful planning, or you will just show yourself to be a fool. Again, the point here is being very thoughtful about the undertaking. And I would suggest that this is maybe the most important thing to say about all of this. Jesus wants these crowds, we might call them Christian crowds, the popular Christian world, to seriously consider whether they have decided and chosen and paid the price to be a disciple, to follow Jesus. If they haven't thought about that, things are going to backfire for them. Things are going to fall apart. And indeed, I would suggest this happens a lot in church life. People come to Christianity or they come to church because of benefits. Christians are loving or you know, they like the beauty they see in worship or something. There's all kinds of good things that they see. But they haven't really sat down and said, you know what, I have really counted up what it means to be a follower of Jesus, and that's what I want above all else. And so when those challenges come to their lives, when they have to daily decide, oh, getting my way is not important in my marriage or in whatever, that's not my prime objective, things fall apart. They get upset. They get mad. Now, it doesn't have to happen that way, or it doesn't have to unfold that way. So, for example, I would suggest that the disciples themselves had not really counted the cost. And after Jesus dies and is raised from the dead, or after Jesus goes to the cross, they realize what the cost is. And the 11 decide, you know what? It's a bargain. I'm totally willing to give up all of these things to be a disciple of Jesus, because no one else has the words of life and he's defeated death. Of course, Judas, when faced with that crisis, decided, nope, I'm not willing to pay that price. And of course, it cost him everything. So in the end, disciples understand that the gospel is a bargain, but Jesus wants to make it clear to interested seekers in the crowds that the cost of discipleship is great, and they must be very thoughtful and take time and deliberation to consider if they really want to pay that price. So may we count the cost, and may we find the bargain, the best deal of our lives, of giving up everything to find more than we ever imagined in discipleship to Jesus Christ. Amen.